The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonsky, Przonsky, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors, and Senator Frank Morris will lead us in the pledge. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Our invocation today is from Father Todd Molinari, who is here at St. Joseph's Catholic Church here in Salem.
Thank you, Senator Courtney, for our invocation this morning. I'd like to read a brief excerpt from the encyclical Rerum Novarum by Pope Leo XIII. It talks about just use of money for the common good, and then offer a brief invocation in Spanish in commemoration of Earth Day for the just use of the Earth's resources. Therefore, those whom fortune favors are warned that freedom from sorrow and abundance of earthly riches are no guarantee of that happiness that shall never end, but rather to the contrary. The chiefest and most excellent rule of the right use of money is one to which the heathen and the pagan philosophers indicated, but which the Church has traced out clearly and has not only made known to the minds of humans, but is impressed upon our lives. It rests on the principle that it is one thing to have a right to the possession of money, and it is another to have a right to use money as one pleases. Private ownership, as we have seen, is the natural right of humanity. And to exercise that right, especially as members of society, it is not only lawful, but absolutely necessary. It is lawful, says St. Thomas Aquinas, for a man or a woman to hold private property, and it is also necessary for the carrying on of human life. But if the question is asked, how must one's possessions be used? The Church replies without hesitation in the words of St. Thomas. Man and woman should not consider their outward possessions as their own, but as common to all, so as to share them without difficulty when others are in need. Whence the Apostle says, command the rich of this world to give with ease and to communicate. Thus, to sum up what has been said, whoever has received from the divine bounty a large share of his blessings, whether they be external and corporal or gifts of the mind, has received them for the purpose of using them for perfecting his own nature and at the same time perfecting that of the community, that he or she may employ them as a minister of God's providence for the benefit of all. He that has talents, says St. Gregory the Great, let him see that he hides it not. And he that has abundance, let him arouse himself to mercy and generosity, especially to those in need. He that has art and skill, let him do his best to share the use and utility thereof with his neighbor. And now to conclude with a special prayer on Earth Day for the just use of the resources the Lord has entrusted to us. Oremos. Bendito seas, oh Dios, creador del universo, que hiciste buenas todas las cosas y confiaste la tierra al hombre para la cultivaste. Haz que usemos siempre con agradecimiento de las cosas que tú nos has creado y que, conscientes de que son don tuyo, sepamos compartirlas con los necesitados. En la caridad de Jesucristo nuestro Señor y vive reino por los siglos de los siglos. Amén. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Father Todd Molinari, for your invocation. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to you. Father Todd is the pastor at the church that Margie and I attend. Also, thank you, Senator Frank Morris, for leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Henry Lazio is the honorary page, the guest of Senator Johnson. So, Henry, you're here by yourself today. Usually we have a lot of pages, so you got a lot of work to do. But I'm sure, Henry, wherever you are, you'll be able to do it and do it well. Courtesies. Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Remember a few weeks ago when we had a number of students from the Gilkey International Middle School in an internship program?
I don't mean to stop the conversation, but I can't hear. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, the student that kind of followed me around that day was Alexander Chabot. And Alexander was so excited and so interested in what he learned during that day that he brought his parents back with him to visit us. And so I have at my desk Lisa Chabot and his mother. And his father, Stan Chabot, is in the aisle side gallery with my wife. And that's Alexander sitting with his dad. So I'd like you to give courtesies to the Chabot family, Alexander, and his mom and dad, Stan and Lisa. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa, Stan, Alexander, the Chabots. Thank you very much for coming to your state capital. Hope you're having a good time. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. And, Lisa, I'm glad you're on the Senate floor. Makes us look better. Makes us look good. Makes Senator Rod Malow look good, and he sometimes needs to look good. So anyway, I'd like to extend a courtesy to the Senate to you. Thank you very much. Other courtesies before we move on, and then someone wants to go back? Okay. Remonstrances. Senator Farioli, you have a remonstrance?
No.
Okay. Are there any other remonstrances that people think about? Senator Devlin, do you have a remonstrance?
No, Mr. President, never have had one. Don't plan on one today.
Does anybody else have a remonstrance? Well, there's no remonstrances. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I'm going to speak from the House has passed. Senate Bill 5539, 63, 75, and 356.
Message from the Governor.
Mr. President, I'm going to speak from the House has approved and signed the following bills, Senate Bill 163 and 462.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees in accordance with SR 8.551. Committee report number 72 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the journal of the status report, and it is so ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Senator Devlin? Senator Devlin, we're about to do a proposition and motion.
Thank you,
Mr. President. You have something you want to request?
Thank you, Mr. President.
I cannot hear, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Ted Farioli.
In honor of the request that the Senate Democrats have made, the Republicans will retire to our caucus room and just wait for 15 minutes. Thank you, Mr. President.
All right, we're going to go into recess until 10:45 by the digital clock, on the sides. No longer am I using the clock in the back of the chamber. I'm now using the digital clock. Not that anybody's listening to me. The Senate will go into recess. All right. Senate will please come to order. Clerk, call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, Ferrioli, George, George, Girard, Girard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Johnson, Cruz, Cruz, Metzger, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Nelson, Przonski, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Schrader, Starr, Starr, Telfer, Telfer, Verger, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Whitsett, Winters, Winters, President Courtney.
He is here. Can I have... That's when...
hit my hand.
A quorum is present. The Senate recess following the order of reports from special committees. And we'll resume under propositions or motions that are so ordered. Recognize Senator Larry George.
Thank you, Mr. President. I ask unanimous consent to return to courtesies.
Without objection, please feel free to return to courtesies.
Colleagues, today is a very special day for us in the Capitol and for hundreds of parents, students, and teachers from the Oregon Connections Academy. I'd like to introduce these families and ask that courtesies be extended to them, and perhaps they could stand in the gallery so you could see them or raise their hands. These families come from all over our great state, as far away from Medford, Pendleton, Newport, Gresham. They're here for the fifth year in a row at the Oregon Connections Academy for the day at the Capitol. And they have brought a special gift with them this year. They have brought their cyber school to the Capitol and will have regular classes underway in the Galleria and in Hearing Room 50. I think this is the first for the Oregon legislature having the ability to observe virtual learning while in progress. If you can make it to Hearing Room 50, that'd be great. And I'd ask that courtesies be extended to the Oregon Connections Academy, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Larry George. To all those Oregon Connection Academy individuals that are here, we appreciate it. They're on all sides of us, all throughout the gallery. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. It's your state capital, so we're glad you came. We hope you stay throughout the day. We hope you stay for the remaining of the Senate session. So I'd like to extend the official courtesies of the Oregon State Senate to each and every one of you. Thank you very much for coming to your state capital. Thank you, Senator Larry George. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President, under the order of courtesies, I have a young man sitting next to me who is about to become the son-in-law to another good friend of mine, but that's not who I want you to be courteous to. I want you to be courteous to his almost newly son-in-law or brother-in-law, my good friend Griffin Smith, who's up there, and he's up there waving right now. Thank you for coming, Griffin.
All right. Nobody got a name in that, but so we got a son-in-law and a brother-in-law. So I'd like to welcome the son-in-law and the brother-in-law, either if you are now or will be, to the Oregon State Capitol. And I appreciate you being here. I'd like to extend the courtesy Senate to the son-in-law and the brother-in-law. There's the son and there's the brother-in-law. And I think that's what you're going to become. So, to the future, we extend it to you now, but let it carry through to the future when you become the official son-in-law and the brother-in-law of Senator Jason Atkinson. I hope I did that right. I don't have the slightest idea what I was talking about. We'll now return to the regular order of the Senate business, which is propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Jackie Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that consideration of Senate Bill 739 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Monday, April 27th calendar.
Senator Dingfelder moves that the consideration of Senate Bill 739 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on the Monday, April 27th calendar. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have several members that are absent today that would like to vote on this bill, and so we request that it be held over.
Discussion. Senator Bill Morissette.
Mr. President, I request that Senate Bill 9...
No. We're not there yet. We're still on 739. Sorry, your light was on. Sorry. Any discussion on the motion on 739 to set it over? There is not. The question is on taking Senate Bill 739 from today's calendar and placing it on Monday's April 27th calendar. All those in favor will please say aye. Aye. And those opposed, no. All those in favor of the motion will please say aye. Aye. No. Those opposed?
No.
The motion has carried. Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that consideration of...
Just a minute. Thank you, Senators. I'm struggling. Please go ahead.
I move that consideration of Senate Bill 937 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Monday, the 27th calendar.
Senator Bill Morissette, I move this consideration of Senate Bill 937 be taken from its place on today's calendar and placed on Monday's April 27th calendar. To your motion.
The sponsor of this bill is not present, and she will be back on Monday.
Discussion? The question is on taking Senate Bill 937 from today's calendar and placing it on Monday's May 27th calendar. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. This motion has carried. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction, first reading of Senate measures. The second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 152, relating to purchasing authority of state agencies responsible for state institutions. Senate Bill 381, relating to health benefit plans. Senate Bill 389, relating to criminal sentencing. Senate Bill 601, relating to investigations of the Oregon Board of Maritime Pilots. Senate Bill 729, relating to podiatry. Senate Bill 734, relating to state health insurance.
These are passed the calendar. We're now in the third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 771, relating to landlord-tenant law.
Recognize Senator Dianne Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 771A, which comes with a unanimous vote from your Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs. This bill actually comes from the 2009 Residential Landlord-Tenant Coalition as its omnibus bill for 2009. That is a coalition of tenant advocates and landlord interest groups that has been around for about 25 years for the purpose of coming to consensus in revising, clarifying, and updating Oregon's Residential Landlord-Tenant Act. Its members include the Oregon Law Center, the Lane County Legal Aid and Advocacy Center, Portland State University Student Legal Services, the Community Alliance of Tenants, the Oregon Rental Housing Coalition, the Metro Multifamily Housing Association, Multifamily Housing Association, Associated Oregon Housing Authorities, and others. To give you a little background, in most legislative sessions since the early 1980s, the coalition has presented an omnibus bill that is supported by both tenant and landlord advocates. The coalition brings members together in the months prior to each legislative session to thoroughly consider and examine issues relevant to both sides and to propose solutions that work well for everybody. This year, the result of the coalition's work is Senate Bill 771A, which passed, as I said, with a unanimous vote. In brief, the bill makes the following changes to the Act. It allows landlords and tenants to enter into temporary occupant agreements when both sides agree that they would like to permit a long-term guest to reside in the dwelling. It provides a mechanism for landlords to administer the abandoned property of tenants who pass away during the tenancy. It clarifies what sorts of fees and damages can be charged to a tenant and requires upfront notification of those fees. It provides stability for long-term well-behaved tenants who have lived for more than a year in a home with 60 days no-cause notice of eviction instead of 30 days, and landlords still have all the same rights to evict with less notice for any violation of the rental agreement. Colleagues, the coalition put a lot of work into the provisions of this bill, meeting regularly over the interim and into the session to achieve consensus. It is rare when advocates from different perspectives can come together with such success, and colleagues, I urge your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Rosenbaum. Is there discussion? Which now rises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 771. Those the opinion of bills shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, will please call the roll.
Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Carter. Berger. 20 ayes.
Senate Bill 771, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill. Come up here, Richard.
SJR 39, recognizing the honoring Pendleton Roundup Centennial Celebration.
Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the Letterbuck Bill. That's a resolution commemorating the 100th year anniversary of the Pendleton Roundup in 2010. I was trying my mighty list to figure out some way to bring Columbia River water into this bill, but I wasn't able to do that. I did think about the ethics portion of the bills that we passed in this session, and everybody ought to come to the Pelham's Roundup, and the invitation is open. If you take the time to read the bill, you'll see some great history there, and I appreciate your support on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Nelson. Discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage of SJR 39. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Morris.
Senator Morris.
Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader.
Senator Schrader.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George.
Sir George.
Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Ferger, 28 ayes.
SJR 39, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 217, Wheeling Historic Preservation Revolving Loan Fund.
Declaring an ayes. Senator Brett Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Senate Bill 217, amended, comes to you from your Committee on Consumer Protection and Business Affairs, where it passed out with unanimous vote. There was no opposition. The State Historical Preservation Officer oversees the preservation of historical property in Oregon. All too often, historical sites are the target of looting and vandalism. While these acts are subject to both criminal and civil laws, the statute specifically authorizes the Attorney General to protect these properties. Funding for enforcement has never been designated. This bill creates that funding mechanism by authorizing a historical preservation revolving loan fund to seek or accept gifts, grants, or donations to the fund. In addition, attorney fees recovered by the DOJ through enforcement actions will be placed in the fund. Senate Bill 217A permits historical preservation revolving loan fund to be used for Department of Justice criminal and civil enforcement and cultural resource education. It's a good bill.
Thank you, Senator Gerard. Further discussion? Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 217. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, clerk, please call the roll.
Nelson. Prozonsky. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Senator Metzger.
Juanes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette.
One second.
Morse. President Courtney.
He's a yes.
Excused. Carter, Berger, 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 217, I received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 571, willing to fish.
I got an aye, Senator Floyd Prozanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 571 came out of your Environment and Natural Resource Committee. It came out on a 5-0 vote. Basically, what 571 is going to do is put some teeth into our regulations and making certain people who have in the past intentionally have put in fish that are species that are not native to the lakes or streams and other waterways are going to be held accountable for that conduct. Current law says that all of these would be treated as misdemeanors. What we know for a fact is that some people, by a mistake, may cause entry of this type of a species into a body of water that we do not want to occur. There's others that actually intentionally and knowingly do this for whatever purposes, many of the times because they want to be able to fish their favorite, or fish for their favorite fish in a stream or lake close by to where they may reside. That, in fact, causes significant problems throughout the system and actually can destroy the ecosystem of that lake or water, stream of body of water. what we have here is a means to actually hold these people more accountable. There's a lot of discussion that went on as to the intent as to what is here. This is basically to make certain that people realize that this is against the law, it's always been against the law, and those who are acting with purpose are going to be held to a higher standard than others. Mr. President, that's the intent of the bill. I'm here to take questions. Thank you.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Metzger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will the carrier yield to a question?
The carrier yield?
Yes, he will.
The carrier will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, I appreciate the intent of this bill. I just have a question. We are substantially increasing the penalties for these violations. In the instance of someone who may have on their property a pond, say with trout, which may be native to the streams that go associated with that property, but not from that body of water, and you get a flood situation and some of those fish get out of your pond and into the stream, even though they may be native fish to the area but not from that particular body of water, are those folks at risk of having these enhanced penalties under this legislation?
Thank you for the question. Let me respond this way. There was discussion within the committee, both with people giving testimony as well as the dais for members. We wanted to make certain that we did not include those individuals in that capacity, that they would, in fact, be held to those type of standards. What we learned from the department is basically, one, they are the enforcers of the regulations, that they do not go on the people's property, and they would take everything into consideration. It is not the intent of the legislators that voted on this out of the committee to hold people to those type of standards of high criminal penalties for that type of actions that occur. We recognize and realize that there could be, quote-unquote, an act of God where you could have a flood, that you could actually have ponds on property that could have a release of fish into the nearby streams and adjacent waterways. It is not the intent of this legislation to be holding those individuals to the standards that we have here today. We expect that the department will, in fact, take those things in consideration. And if not, then I would be one of the first to be back here to make corrections if need be.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Fred Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like a question to carrier.
Will the carrier yield?
Yes, he will.
The carrier will.
Thank you. The question I would have is, I think everybody probably in this room knows that we had problems down at Diamond Lake with the Tule Chub. With this bill, it is illegal to fish with live bait in Diamond Lake. And a lot of these came up from California. Would this bill address that issue?
Thank you for the question, Senator from Lyons. Yes, it does. In fact, the bill was requested by former Representative Susan Morgan, asked me that I would, if I would be willing to carry the bill, which I was honored to have the opportunity to introduce the bill and bring it forward. Clearly, what we're attempting to do is do just exactly what your concerns would be, is to hold those individuals if they were intentionally putting live bait into these waterways, such as what happened at Diamond Lake with the Chewy Chub, and actually cause this state and this body to actually pass legislation that created a need for spending $6 million to actually clean that lake out so it could get back to its more pristine existence and use as it has always been. One of the things that we hope that this bill will do is will reflect as and show and demonstrate as a deterrent why it is not appropriate for these things to occur. And that's why you actually have a breakout as to the type of mental requirement for the type of criminal charges that could be filed. Clearly, if it's something that was careless, reckless, that's one thing. But in many of these cases, we actually have people that are taking fish and putting into waterways with the intent to create their own private little fishing area, not realizing the impact that it has on the whole system.
Thank you. Thank you for that answer. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, as one of the few members of the Fishing Caucus in this body, this is a very good bill, and I think it needs to pass.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Senator Brzezinski, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 571. Those opinion of bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Boquist.
Senator Boquist?
Yes. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard. Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. President Courtney.
What?
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excuse. Carter. Berger. 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 571 has received constitutional majority. Declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 578 relating to all-terrain vehicle safety and court emergency.
Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. I move that Senate Bill 578 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Senator Devlin has moved that Senate Bill 578 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. See your motion.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. The Chair of the Senate Subcommittee on Natural Resources has requested to have the bill in her committee. We believe that would be a good place for it.
Discussion? Question is on taking Senate Bill 578 from its place on today's third reading calendar and referring it to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. This motion is carried. Clerk, we're now continue on a third reading of Senate measure. Clerk, will read the bill.
Senate Bill 862, relating to reimbursement of health care costs and court emergency.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, lately I'm getting an awful lot of emails and letters and phone calls from people who are hardworking Oregonians who are struggling to make their mortgage payments, put food on the table, pay their utility bills, put gas in their cars. And what they're asking me is, what about me? They're seeing federal stimulus packages, state stimulus packages, all this money going to help other people. But those that are hardworking people in Oregon don't seem to feel that they're getting any support from the state. Well, colleagues, Senate Bill 862 will do just that. It will empower local communities to increase access to health care services for low-income, uninsured workers. Specifically, it addresses a local community's ability to implement health improvement programs. These community-driven programs provide access to health care services through innovative and strategic partnerships and through modest contributions from the employer, employee, and the community. Last week, the day after the committee passed this bill out of committee, unanimously, I might add, last week the Wall Street Journal published an article on the success of Galveston, Texas, where they developed a community health improvement program to provide health care to her low-income, uninsured workers. The article states, quote, as the Obama administration wrestles with how to expand health care coverage to the millions of uninsured Americans, some local organizations are finding creative ways to help cover one of the most affected groups, employees of small businesses. And yesterday, I can't tell you how exciting this is. Yesterday, the federal government announced a new state grant program called State Access Program that includes support for community health improvement programs as outlined in Senate Bill 862. To get this money, states must have demonstrated that they have achieved statutory changes to implement the grant. Passage of this legislation would do that for Oregon and make us eligible to pursue this multi-million dollar grant opportunity. The grants range from $2 million to $10 million per year for 5 years. There are grants available for 10 to 12 states, There are only 8 other states that currently have this statutory enabling power. Senate Bill 862 will do that for Oregon, will hopefully attract up to $50 million to help our low-income workers get health insurance. So, colleagues, I urge you to join me in voting yes on Senate Bill 862, which will empower Oregon's local communities to provide their uninsured low-income workers with access to timely, quality, and affordable health care. Thank you.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Bill Morissette, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a very timely bill, and I can't tell you how proud I am of Senator Telfer for bringing this bill. We had an informational hearing in my committee. This bill came out of the Rural Health Policy Committee, and we talked about a couple of programs, the program that exists in Deschutes County and the program that exists in Lane County. We have 100% access, which will benefit from this program. And all during the hearing last year when we were talking about Senate Bill 329, which establishes the health care reform committee and so on, I kept saying, you know, we're working from the wrong direction. We should be enhancing local delivery systems. All health care is locally delivered. And instead of starting at the 50,000-foot level and creating some bureaucracy, we should be enhancing the local programs like 100% access and like the program that exists in the Douglas County or Deschutes County. This is true health care reform in a sense. And in Lane County, we have gone so far as to issue cards to people who are uninsured to help track them and let various providers who deal with the uninsured with free services identify who they are. It's not an insurance program, but it's a facilitation program. And Deschutes County in Bend it has a wonderful program. It's equal to the one in Lane County. And there are several other programs around the state that will benefit from this. So I am so happy that Senator Telfer did introduce this bill, and the timing is perfect. And I think that a freshman senator can be very proud. So I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Morissette. Further discussion? Senator Telfer, do you wish to close? Question on upon the third reading and final passage says Senate Bill 862. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montes-Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Berger. 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 862 has received a constitutional majority declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 871 will installation security measures.
Senator Brian Boquist.
Aye.
No, you're carrying a bill.
It's a great deal, Mr. President, too. You're ahead of me here. Colleagues, 871 comes to Committee on Education and General Government. There's no revenue impact. There is a fiscal statement issued because it's a federal grant program. What this bill does is clarifies some existing policies and procedures for federal grants that come from the Department of Homeland Security that are above $250,000. We already received these grants on application through the Homeland Security for under $250,000. It does authorize them, you'll see in here, to go to parks, community, and health centers that are open to the public in the Jewish community. community in which 90% of those that are going into those centers are not from the Jewish community. And again, this is federal grant dollars that are already authorized. We just need a different threshold and mechanism to collect them in the state or apply for the grants. Good bill, should pass. Thank you, Mr. President. And yes, I am here.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Boquist. Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I just want to make a comment about this bill. I do rise in support of Senate Bill 871. I want to clarify when the language in the bill discusses the facilities of the Jewish Federation of Greater Portland. We're talking about facilities like the Middleman Jewish Community Center, the Roschnitzer Manor and Robeson Jewish Home, which is a assisted living apartment complex and nursing home. These are facilities that all have non-discrimination policies. Many of the members of the community center, many of the residents of the Robeson Jewish Home, Roschnitzer Manor, those are not necessarily Jewish members of the community. They are, as I said, non-discrimination policies in all of these facilities. These are not religious institutions. They're community institutions. There are enhanced security concerns. As you know, there was an attack on the Jewish Federation in Seattle. I do support this bill. I do know that there are enhanced security concerns, and it would be helpful for them to be able to get some of this Department of Homeland Security money to help protect the people who use those facilities. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Bonamici. Further discussion? Senator Boquist, you wish to close. Question not right upon third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 871. Those opinion bills are passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monsanderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Berger, 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 871 have received a constitutional majority and declared passed. First reading of House measures. Second reading of House measures. We are now on to the third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2275, Land Child Support.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. 2275B came over to the House. The Committee on Judiciary comes out of Judiciary on a unanimous vote. There is no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. Clarifies that a person eligible for or receiving Title IV funds of Social Security is presumed unable to pay child support. And the other significant issue in here, it is allows the Attorney General to declare a period of significant unemployment, which allows the Support Division to suspend or modify an enforcement order for 6 months during an economic downturn. This came from the from our committee. Good bill, should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion. Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage. The House Bill 2275. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monsanderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum. No. Schrader. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Berger, 28 ayes.
The House Bill 2275, having received a constitutional majority, declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2433, Women's Health Insurance.
Senator Lori Moniz Anderson, take us home.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Oregonians are really experiencing the economic difficulties because they're losing their jobs, and they're also then, besides losing their jobs, are facing the additional burden of having to pay for health insurance on their own. The federal economic stimulus package provides much needed assistance, by paying up to 65% of health insurance premiums for workers who lose their jobs. However, current Oregon law prevents some individuals who worked for small employers from taking full advantage of this subsidy. This bill will actually ensure Oregonians that they can receive the full benefit offered by the stimulus package to help them manage through these very challenging times. When workers lose their jobs, they have the right to stay on their employer's health plan. For employers with 20 or more employees, this right is provided by the Federal Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, which is known by most of us as COBRA. But for smaller employers, Oregon's state continuation law, it provides similar rights for those. In both cases, former employees normally must pay the full cost of the insurance. Premiums can be extremely expensive, and affording them is particularly difficult for someone who's lost their job. The stimulus package will pay up to 65% of premiums for workers who choose to continue group coverage either under COBRA or state continuation. For example, a family that may typically have to pay $1,200 a month to continue an employer plan would only have to pay $420 a month. And a single employee who might typically have to pay $400 monthly to keep his or her health insurance would only have to pay $140 with the subsidy. This federal subsidy is available to former employees for 9 months after they lose their jobs. But currently, Oregonians who work for the small employers can continue coverage through the state continuation plan for only 6 months. To ensure that Oregonians can take full advantage of the help that is available, this bill will include the following. It will extend the amount of time former employees can continue coverage through the state continuation program from 6 months to 9 months. And this would give Oregonians the opportunity to receive the subsidy for the maximum amount of time. It's giving Oregonians who lost their job before the federal stimulus package was announced and who chose not to continue their employer plans at that time a second opportunity to decide to continue their health coverage. And making sure that all Oregonians know about the subsidy by requiring insurers to notify all employer groups and individuals whose jobs ended between September 1st of 2008 and December 31st of 2009. This bill will allow them to be notified that they might qualify for this subsidy. Consumers then would have 31 days from the date they were notified to decide to continue group coverage. This is an extremely important bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. I recognize Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. President. Question of the carrier.
Yes, I agree to a question.
He will respond to your question.
Thank you, and I'm terribly sorry, Senator, that I forgot to ask you about this earlier. This is a great bill, but let me ask you the question. I have constituents in my district whose companies that they work for have gone bankrupt, and when the company goes bankrupt, COBRA is no longer available to them because the company's not around to pay the underlying premium. Does this new bill apply for those individuals whose company has gone under?
That was not discussed in committee, and they would actually have to check with the employment department, but I would definitely urge them to check the employment department, but I can't answer that question.
Okay. To the bill, Mr. President.
To the bill.
I'm really sorry. I just saw this on my desk last night, and as you know, Ways and Means was in Portland last night, and so I couldn't get back to the senator. I do want to explore this further because there are a number of companies that have gone bankrupt and are no longer in business, and that leaves the employee hanging in the wind with no access to health insurance other than what the state can provide. So I'll continue to work with the senator and the department to see what we can do to assist them. And particularly, I have some constituents in my district who sought out health care services while they were paying for COBRA,
and the company stopped paying the underlying premium without telling them in a prompt manner, and so they were left on the hook paying their medical bills. So I turned them over to the U.S. Department of Labor, and they were pursuing that claim with them, and then the company filed bankruptcy. So it complicated things tremendously. So I do want to try and provide as much information to our constituents about healthcare opportunities as we can. So I appreciate this bill, and I'll continue to follow it and work it a little bit more. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Walker. I recognize Senator Boquist.
To the bill, Mr. President.
To the bill.
Mr. President, I rise in support of this bill, too. I asked a question offline to the good chair of the Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs and regarding to the federal disconnect that we did. I rise in support of this bill. I would just urge that the good committee on revenue, when they're going back and determining which portions of the federal tax code we're going to reconnect to, there are COBRA issues inside of there that we should reconnect to so that the full benefit of this goes to all of the unemployed individuals needing insurance. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Boquist. Further discussion? Senator Montesans, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon a third reading and final passage of the House Bill 2433. Those of the opinion bills shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger. Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Hass. Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Metzger,
aye.
Mazinerson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Przonski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
President Courtney. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Berger, 28 ayes.
The House Bill 2433, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 96, was distributed to the members on April 21st. The referrals were recorded in the Journal and Stage Report and so ordered. We're now under announcements. There is no floor session on Friday. We will have no floor session this Friday, which is April 24th. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Senate Democrats, be in the caucus room at noon. We have a caucus. It'll probably last about 45 minutes to an hour. So be in the caucus room at noon.
You recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, as usual, Republicans are under budget and on time, so we will not be having a caucus today. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Atkinson, do you wish to have an announcement?
Mr. President, the Floyd McMullen Fire Brigade will meet today at 2 o'clock. Special guests, so everyone be there. And just as a note, for the historical record, this weekend I met Floyd McMullen's two sisters at an event, and it was fantastic. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there any remonstrances? I see no remonstrances. To the students in the back alley, we welcome you to the state capitol. I do not know what school you came from, but we're pleased you're here. We hope you have a good day. It's an honor and a privilege to have the state capitol. So welcome to your state capitol. Thank you very much for coming. Have a great day. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, this Senate is adjourned until 10:15 tomorrow, Thursday, April 23rd. The Senate is adjourned.